So this month of September 2025 has in the Church of Scotland lectionary, usually referred to as weekly worship, a very heavy focus on God's creation as gifted to us, and the need for the church as a whole to be in the vanguard of cherishing and protecting it. And this heavy focus was also designed to drift into next Sunday, the 1st in October, where many churches across the land celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving. And we in the Steeple Centre of DLPC had decided that next Sunday we would be in that topic, and it would be led by the Reverend Brenda. Unfortunately, that plan has come unstuck for various reasons beyond our control, but the theme will be delayed until another Sunday beyond next week. But it's a subject which is close to Mark's heart, as he mentioned in the intimations, and it's part of the National Lectionary. So we decided it was still appropriate to do an introduction to the topic as the month closes, when we're all gathered as one church today in this joint service. And as I said, it's been a subject dear to the hearts of preachers across our country all month. It's not for us to understand the workings of the Holy Spirit in how all this happens, but it's always appropriate for us as a United Church of Christ to reflect on ecology, particularly for you as you stand on the threshold of a new future. So I thought we'd do a quick little recap of what we've been doing on our own in this church, the Steeple, this month. I'm not intimately familiar with what you've been doing at Coldside, but I'm hoping that the lectionary readings will be consistent in both churches. Sunday, 7th September, when we were here, we considered the cost of being a disciple in the context of being taught by Jesus that we must love him even more than our own kith and kin. And that message certainly applies equally to the creation. Looking after it is also our vital calling. Then Sunday, 14th September, we were considering the question that God might ask of us in respect of the lectionary readings about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And you may remember I framed that question, why were you not John? And the question then was whether I'd lived up to the challenge of finding myself, and I invited you to delete my name and pop in yours. We might anticipate the same question in due course if we have failed to look after God's question, God's creation. How, John, did you get on in the nurture of my creation? Then last Sunday, the 21st, we here at the Steeple looked at the echoes of voices, particularly Jesus' voice, based on Tom Wright's book about justice, spirituality, relationships, and beauty. And for those who were not here, those four themes are integral to our Christian faith: justice, spirituality, relationships, and beauty. And all of those themes weave their way into, around, and through our need to look after the creation. Creation deserves justice. It depends on our spiritual love because of its extraordinary beauty. And the care for it is best done by us in relationship with each other. So I really feel, in a sense, we've been in this eco theme all month, whether we expressly said so or not. Today we will definitely say so. We start with Mark's open spot on this church and eco matters.
Reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 1, moving on to chapter 2. The beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, let there be light in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the night, day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw that he had made all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Amen.
Thank you, Alison. A long reading. I thought we should go back to those basics. I know you know them well, but they always are worth rereading and rehearing. And that rhythm in and the evening and the morning, whichever day it was. Tim and I were at the Highland Theological College. We were taught by a wonderful man called Hector Morrison, was it? He had just retired, I think, but he was able to delve into that chapter with an amazing rigor, which I'm not going to try and replicate. So I like a curious title, and this will become apparent at the end, Learning from the Little Girl. You would hear in that passage that we were given dominion, if you like, or we were given the power to rule over it and look after this creation. So I wondered how we might think in 2025 we're getting on. There is a website you can access called earth.org, which is rather sobering reading. And they talk about 15 different ways in which the planet isn't doing so well. I decided that 15 was too many. I've shrunk it to 10. You may know that they've been saying for ages, the scientists, that 1.5 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels is the maximum the temperature of the atmosphere should get to. Last year, they recorded we're now at 1.6. So we're on the slippery slope, if we're not careful, beyond that original ceiling. One of the reasons for that is that fossil fuels are being burnt across the globe far more than they should be. And I know there are current politicians who don't cast a care about that, but our dependence on fossil fuels is undoubtedly going to ruin us. The third one I found startling. Anyone prepared to guess what the 1.3 billion tons might be?
CO2.
No? Good guess, though. Food. 1.3 billion tons is the amount of food that we throw away every year. And if we didn't throw it away, it would feed 3 billion people. And guess what? There are more than 3 billion people living in poverty. And this is mainly West against less developed countries. But just think of it, 1.3 billion tons. And I know it's across the globe, but it's still an astonishing amount of food. Now this goes back to Genesis. 500 is the number of animal species that have been rendered extinct in the last 100 years. They're anticipating that we'll wipe out another 500 in the next 20 years. So the rate of extinction is getting faster and faster. And God charged us to look after the animals. The 68% since 1970 is that those animals who haven't been made extinct, that's the extent of their depletion since 1970. So in just 50 odd years, 68% decline. We are not looking after our animals well. I'm not expecting you to guess these. This one is the number of tons of plastic waste that wind up in the ocean every year. 14 million tons of it. And of course, in terms of its size, it's not heavy. So to make 14 million tons takes a heck of a lot of plastic. You probably heard this one before. It's a football pitch. Apparently 300 football pitches are deforested every single hour. Those of you who've ever run up and down a football pitch will know it's quite big. The older you get, the bigger it seems to be. 300 every single hour. Air pollution. I couldn't believe this one when I've checked it, but it seems to be right. That's the number of people who died in Africa in 2017 as a direct result of air pollution. Almost 260,000 people. That's the amount of Antarctic ice that we've lost since 1997, so in the last 28 years. And then this one, This one I find just extraordinary. It's to do with our lifestyle. This is where discarded clothing goes. And it's the Atacama Desert in Chile. And the 43 million tons is the amount that was dumped in 2023 alone. 43 million tons of it. And then finally, it's not a very good picture, but it made me think about people like me. I've got a bit pious because I bought an electric car. And you can't do electric cars without a bit of cobalt. They mainly mine it in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And this is one of the mines. And so the countryside is being devastated by the mining. And then there's a lot of leaching of minerals that should stay in the ground back into rivers and things. So the holy ground of having an electric vehicle be less holy with a small h. The other five things relate to acidity of the ocean, agricultural habits worldwide, soil degradation, and food insecurity and overfishing. All are equally worrying. Have a look at earth.org if you want to inform yourself better. It's quite a sorry state, isn't it? Now, what is frightening for us living in 2025 is how much of it's down to the last 50 or 60 years. And virtually all of it's down to the last 200 years. Before that, the planet was doing pretty well. In Genesis 1, we heard that wonderful description of God creating the earth. Let's not fixate on what a day means. But what we saw in verses 10, 12, 18, 25, and 31 was much the same language repeat. And God saw that it was good. Except that in verse 31, he saw that it was very good. And I'm confident that when God looks at the planet now, he still thinks that it, and perhaps even the vast majority of it, is good or very good. We live on a stunningly beautiful planet. But he must still be shaking his head about how we humans are looking after it. Mustn't he, when we think of those statistics? We didn't hear this far in our reading, but if we got to Genesis 2, verse 15, we would have read, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it." And the word man is about humanity, not man. Some denominations involved in faith in our God believe that we'll be asked, "Did you look after creation?" Will we be able to say honestly, "Yes, we did"? And coming back to Genesis, there sometimes seems a little bit of confusion about the sequence. And some people seem to have reached the conclusion that God created all the animals by the fifth day, and then he created us humans on a special sixth day so that we could rule over or have dominion over those animals. Well, we saw that's not the way it was. All animal life, including us, was created in one batch of creation. Yes, Genesis says that God gave us dominion or the right to rule, but we must be in no doubt that all the animals were created together and we're destined to be together. Dominion or the right to rule never anticipated us wiping the others out. Now, all this data is rather overwhelming. You might ask me, how can I individually make a difference when the forces at work in damaging the earth are global, they're overwhelming, and they're uncaring? Here's me, just a wee buddy in Dundee. How do we work together? How can we make a difference as a community of Christ, whether this one in Dundee or as the Scottish National Church, against those forces? And the first answer is always that we should continually pray, as we've been taught by Jesus to ask, to seek, and to knock. And I promise you, it's never futile. We're assured our prayers will be answered. Complacency is never an option. But secondly, I wanted to share a little story, especially as you consider what Mark was talking about in terms of his open spot. And it brings me back to my little girl. I bet you know the story already. A young girl was walking along a beach when she noticed that thousands and thousands of starfish had been washed up during a terrible storm. When she came to each starfish, she would pick it up and throw it back in the ocean. And people watched her with amusement. She'd been doing this for a while when man, much older than she, said, "Little girl, why are you doing this? Look at this beach. You can't save all these starfish. You can't begin to make a difference." The girl seemed a bit deflated. But after a few moments, she bent down, picked up another starfish, and hurled it as far as she could into the ocean. Then she looked up at the man and she said, "Well, I made a difference to that one." The old man looked at the girl inquisitively and thought about what she'd done and said, inspired, he joined her in throwing starfish back into the sea. And soon many others joined, and all the starfish were saved. May our beloved God help us to look for these equivalent opportunities to saving the starfish in us helping to save creation. Let us truly learn from the little girl. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.